Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now.
Oh, I win. Google me.
We're not hosting an intergalactic kegger down here.
Bobby Belt? The worst people in college football have finally relented.
What happened? OU did something?
The Rose Bowl, baby. You brought this to my attention.
They did. They've relented. I was upset you were out last week when we got this news.
Yeah.
But I was like, all right, we got to save this for whenever Chop gets back because this is his big gripe. This is a big complaint. The Rose Bowl last week has finally moved off of its stubborn insistence of starting its game at 5 p.m. Eastern. Something that has frustrated you for years. They like the start time because it syncs up with that picturesque sunset just as the fourth quarter begins. It's a great aesthetic. You know it is.
It's a wonderful aesthetic. It is probably outside of the only better aesthetic to me in all of sports is the final round on Sunday at Augusta or the U.S. Open.
I mean the Rose Bowl aesthetic's cool.
Yeah, the final round at Augusta where Rory is making the putt this year and Nance even brought up
the long shadows, symbolic of the long road it took to get here.
That sounds closer to Nance than I thought you could go. that sound is kind of like him. Not totally, but there's like I can hear that being Nance outside of just the whisper.
But That to me is a great setting. And the Rose Bowl is a great it's an ultimate setting. It's a dump of a stadium. It's a dump.
I
took a tour of it. I didn't see a game there. I took a tour of it.
So I've taken a tour to it's been a long time. I haven't seen it recently, so I don't know how it's improved. I am just in general in favor of in my sports sense, I don't want a lot of bells and whistles. I don't need it being I don't need Atlanta, for instance, with their big ribbon panel board. Like, I don't need all that. What I need for football is I need Lambo. I need Rose Bowl.
Yeah,
I need rugged, we're trying to put as many people in this thing as we can fit. I love the aesthetic of the Rose Bowl. Forget just the sunset. I love the aesthetic of a game being played in that stadium. I think
it is great.
I think
it is great.
So nostalgic.
It is.
And great, and now this is something that's going to get ruined.
But
you got your way.
They're still going to get their sunset.
They're not.
It's just going to be at the end of the fourth quarter as opposed to the beginning of the fourth.
They moved it up to 4 p.m. Eastern. Kickoff is 4 p.m. Eastern. A fourth quarter doesn't take a whole damn hour.
Have you paid attention to college football?
It doesn't take a whole hour.
It's a five-hour game.
It does not take a whole hour.
It's a five. The problem is that, the Sugar Bowl, was it the Sugar Bowl or the Peach, didn't start until 9 o'clock.
Well, now they're going to start it.
Too late.
Eight. So good for them.
Yeah, it's just too late.
Ruined nostalgia.
Or college football could have just not staggered the games and just start the other one. Like the NFL doesn't care about staggering.
Yeah, I feel like, if I'm going to...
NBA games run at the same time as other ones.
Who cares about the staggering, though? Is it also the networks and the ad revenue more than the sport?
Right.
Because I would guess somebody flipping back and forth isn't as advantageous to just staying locked in.
Right. The NFL will stagger, but they don't have, if the game is going long, are they going to put it on a slide? By the way, just stop lying to me, NHL. The Stars game started at 8:48 last night. Stop lying to me that it's an 8:30 start. Yeah. All right, stop. But no, this is good. Like, I'm glad they're moving. Yes, the nostalgia is going to be lost, but you're still going to get it at the end of the game.
I mean, not necessarily. If they get a fourth quarter done quickly, I mean, we're talking about, like, then we get it at the trophy presentation almost or something. But
oh, the horror. You lose your sunset. Yeah, oh, the horror.
Yeah, you're Mr. Sunset. You're Mr. Daylight. You want to F up my daylight savings time. You want me to be in the dark until 11 in the morning so that you could have an 8 o'clock sunset.
We woke up in the morning in Italy and saw the sunrise over the lake in Lake Garda and in Florence. Watch the sunrise hit the building, hit the Duomo. We saw the sunset. We're big sunset sunrise people. We are. I love a good sunset, especially over the San Gabriel Mountains. You know, I love that. It's fantastic. But I'm not watching it. I don't want to sit there and watch a game that starts at 9 o'clock.
I mean, nobody cares about the Peach Bowl, so
it's a playoff game.
What is that? What is a playoff game?
It's a playoff game.
It's not a championship playoffs. Game.
The next step for players in the fight for getting more in college football, I believe, is coming thanks to Quinn Ewers.
Oh, do you?
So Quinn made a hefty mistake. Hefty. How much money is Quinn Ewers' NFL salary by being the 231st player taken?
What, he's $700,000 or something?
So 4 years, I think that said it's going to pay him about $4 million bucks over 4 years.
Okay. Right? So, yeah, $1 million.
Right. He would have made that this year alone.
Yeah.
Or more.
Yeah.
Because Carson Beck got $4 million. There were rumors of six for Quinn Ewers.
Yeah, what was the talk was?
Oregon, maybe? Oregon. Miami?
Was Michigan one? I feel like Michigan maybe. Was potentially involved, which would make sense because the Michigan tape was the best tape Quinn Ewers put out there this year. It was funny. We had some people asking us during the draft or during day three, like, what's up with Quinn Ewers? What's wrong with Quinn Ewers? And so I messaged somebody I knew with another team, and I just said, hey, what's wrong with Quinn Ewers? And he replied back, his tape. So I was like, oh, okay, so the NFL just doesn't like him as much. Okay, got it.
So I think the next fight that's coming, it may not be the next one in sequential order, but I think this fight is coming in the next 10 years. Players are going to fight, I believe, or someone is going to sue to be able to enter the draft, get drafted, and then decide that they want to go back to college.
Yeah. 100% you'll see that.
Because you are throwing a coin in the air. And Quinn Ewers just lost a ton of money. And he could easily go back to college right now. Perfect example. Do you think that Quinn Ewers tomorrow would get $4 million from a school? Yes. I think he would.
Yes.
I think my school, who just lost their quarterback, would say, all right, we'll pay you.
You didn't lose your quarterback. You kicked him out.
Kicked him out. But what do you know what I mean? The point's the same. I think that a lot of schools would pay him. Now, the NFL, in order for the NFL to allow this, they would have to get something in return. And what they would get in return is they would get to control your rights for a year.
Yeah. Now, this whole thing is going to become.
Because like, hockey does it like that, right? I know baseball, you know, like you, if you don't sign, ooh, I guess they have your rights for a year.
Matt Perk, man. Matt Perk is the one that taught me that lesson when he got picked by the Rangers. And then he went, no, thanks. I'll go to TCU, boys. And I mean, Matt Perk didn't end up being a great pitcher, so it didn't matter. But I remember being upset by that.
But in baseball, you can enter the draft and like they draft you. You can still decide to go to college.
Look, NIL's created so many different future lawsuits and court cases and different things. We're getting another one. We're going to get another one right here. So did you see while you were out that Nico Iamaleava,
Iamaleava?
Yeah, whatever. It says Iamaleava. But did you see his brother's transferring from Arkansas?
Yeah, and he's getting sued.
Madden. He's getting sued by Arkansas. They're sending demand letters now saying, we need our NIL buyout back. You need to send that money back.
And I think Tennessee's going to do the same thing with his brother.
This is like, I mean, we've got like a legitimate, this is going to set up to be like college football will be NFL free agency. I mean, it's basically there already.
Basically is already there.
But, I mean, these kind of court cases right here are going to be the ones that settle it.
But, you know, what we're going to have, and I think you're right with that, is, you know, like, just take his brother, Nico. Like, Nico's, you know, if he was getting $2 or so million from from Tennessee, he would have to give basically his entire UCLA salary back to the school.
Yeah. So he's going to fight it.
So he's going to fight it for sure. You know, but also, like, you know, there's no, there was no tax in Tennessee. So he was taking that $2 million. Now he's getting 1.6, but with the California tax, it's only like 900 grand.
There's a lot shifting on that NIL front right now. There's a push right now from college football. They're trying to create a rule that will cut some of the red tape from right now. Schools are not allowed to pay money directly to players.
Right. It has to go through your collective or some crap like that.
You got
to
wash the money first.
Right. Yes.
I mean, that's really what it is. But like college football now, we're going to start getting direct payments from schools. Like that's on the horizon. You've got these schools fighting for payouts to come back. I mean, this is setting up to be a, we're eventually going to get rules that are very similar, I think, to NFL free agency.
Mm-hmm. So one more thing on Quinn, and I think it's a really good piece on him. This is from CBS. How one decision at Southlake that he made changed his life.
Was it choosing to graduate early and go to Ohio State?
And how that changed everything for him.
Changed everything for a lot of college football, too.
It did. But if you don't remember, he played Cade Klubnik in the championship game, right? In the 6A Division I championship game in 2020. And, you know, nobody knew that they were watching Quinn's last game because he reclassified after the game and then enrolled at Ohio State, took the $1.5 million, you know, bucks or whatever. And how much did this change Quinn's career? He would have got another year of development under, who's that, Riley Dodge? Is Riley at, I think Riley's at Southlake. Mm-hmm. So he would have got another year of development, and then he would have gone to college and potentially have been in a better position than to be sitting here right now where he's losing out on...
Oh, I mean, Quinn changed a lot.
Millions.
Quinn's entire commitment changed a lot. Quinn got... I mean, you could make the case. Quinn got... the hell's his name? Why am I forgetting? Tom Herman. Quinn got Tom Herman fired by flipping his commitment.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, like, he flips his commitment. Then he... I mean, that was really... A lot of people always felt like... Just wanted a payday, went to Ohio State.
Well, that's why he reclassified so he could get that.
Yeah, and then it was really just go ahead, commit to Ohio State, and then bounce to Texas after a year.
It's inexplicable how all this happened. Like, if he had just stayed at Southlake for one more year, and this is like, all right, do you chase the money in the short term? And he did, and generally I've found that, like, chasing money in the short term is a, it brings... maybe potentially less money in the long term.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think so. But I mean, this is also Quinn's whole setup here is that you're right that where this is all going to head is
you're going to get that. Somebody's
fighting to want to go back.
Yeah.
Because.
And I have no problem with that. Like, I think it's. We see this in college basketball a lot. Like,
I do have a problem with it because it's like you're here. Like just make up your mind what you're doing.
But I think if the team. I think the teams a lot of times would be in favor of this, especially at the quarterback position.
I'll say this. If you want to go back to college, I agree.
In the Keep sense the rights. Keep
they,
the rights.
Yeah, whenever he comes back, they still have your rights.
If the Cowboys
and were, it does, your contract status does not change.
If the Cowboys would have drafted Quinn this year, and he's like, I want to go back to school, Cowboys keep his rights. He goes back, plays another year. Cowboys don't have to pay him. Then they pay him the next year, but they get him at the 2025 contract.
Yeah, it's the contract basically slot, picks up. Yeah,
slot a year later, so they actually would save a little bit of money.
Yeah, and would probably factor into his financial decisions to say, okay, well, do I want to put off free agency to get paid as well in the NFL? At what point does that start factoring in?
Yep. So, college football kegger here on 105.3 The Fan. RJ Choppy. He is Bobby Belt. Could the Rangers possibly get a few more runs, a few more hits? In any game coming up moving forward. DeGrom on the mound. Let's get you set for that one coming up next on The Fan.
1-2 the count. Here's the pitch. Swing and a slow tapper right side. Urias is up with it. The throw to first just in time to get Harris. And the A's capture the opening game of this series as they hold on tonight to win by the final score of 2-1.
Hixie with a call on a game you heard right here. We are the home of Texas Rangers baseball. We are not the problem. Though, when it comes to the offense, they have scored 12 runs in their last six games.
Yeah, that's not good. What is it? It's up to, they've scored 5 runs in 4 games? It's bad.
Yeah, 1, 2, 2, no. So they scored 2 runs, two runs, one in the last four. So that's...
No. They lost 2-0 to the Giants. You're looking at that wrong. They scored nothing in that one game against the Giants. It's 2-2-1. It's 5 runs. Trust me, Chop. 5 runs in 4 games. It's not very good. The offense in general has not been very good. And look, you're hitting the ball hard in a lot of instances. Adolis has hit the ball hard. You know, his strikeout rate isn't up where it's been previously. You're making contact. Wyatt Langford's been good. Higashioka continues to hit the ball hard. He had your only extra base hit last night. So, I mean, I don't know.
They beat the Giants 2-0.
Peripherally in one of the games. Peripherally, yeah. I would hope that this would eventually come around. But, I mean,
you would think it would. But, look, at least no one's pulling away from them in the West. It's so early anyway. It doesn't really matter to you. It's pointless to even look at the standings. But they're just not scoring runs. At the end of the day, they're not getting hits. I mean, they're getting hits. They're getting guys on base. They're just not getting them over. And on Sunday, you know, unable to get Jock Peterson home from third with nobody out. Can't have that happen.
I mean, the dude works so hard to get on third base. Like, you got to bring him home.
Yeah.
For how infrequently he gets over there.
7:05 tonight is the first pitch. Rangers and A's. Jake DeGrom and Jacob Lopez. A couple of Jacobs on the hill tonight. Stars win 6-2. They take a commanding 3-2 series lead.
Speaking of Jacobs,
another one in the room here.
Stars.
Reitma is here. You were there last night.
Which, trivia question, my full name, Jake or Jacob?
I'm assuming it must be Jake if you're asking this.
You got a 50% chance.
It's Jake.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Because you wouldn't have asked.
I don't care for that. It's not a name. Jacob.
Jacob. Wait, Jake's not a name?
No, it's not.
Jacob.
It's
like name your kid Mike.
Yeah, or Bob.
Yeah, Bob's like not a name.
Yeah.
Bobby, Bob is Robert. A short
name. Wow, yeah. My whole life. I never had that take before.
I know.
My whole
life. You've never dealt with somebody like me.
My whole life's been a lie.
Never had a name, clean drinking water. What a
dog. Stop it. There it is. How was the atmosphere? I heard nothing but great things.
Absolutely electric. And it started on my walk into the American Airlines Center. They had the little street hockey game going on in PNC Plaza there. And I was so tempted. I wanted to grab a stick and play with some of the kids, especially because a couple of those kids were playing or wearing the Avalanche sweaters. I wanted to give him a shoulder, and you guys, there you go.
It's like you're punching a little person.
I wanted to play hockey. There were adults playing. Can't say anything around you guys.
Welcome to the morning show.
Welcome to the morning show.
Unbelievable. I wanted to play hockey with the young adolescents that were running around.
Boy, I feel like adolescence doesn't make it feel any much better.
I don't think this is any better.
There were adults playing.
Clearly, you said you were going to get in there.
There we go.
I took video of it.
That doesn't sound
any worse.
I like it, Poppy.
Yes. There was a palpable buzz.
Yes.
It was electric.
There we go.
Let's talk hockey. And Wyatt Johnson, seconds in.
Did it get tense in there when it got to 3-2?
Very good question. Yes. When MacKinnon scored, I looked around and did one of those, oh boy, because you just felt, and there's been too many recent games, I know the regular season, but too many recent games where big leads like that have gotten away.
Yeah.
And so you're just, everybody's doing the eye roll of, oh, here we go again. And even with a 3-goal lead, you still had that in the back of your mind. So for me, it was when the power play goal put the Stars up 4-2. You start to feel a little bit better. And then they get the third goal right away to on the tip in from Mason Marchment. There you go up 5-2. Then you start to feel
they
pretty good.
Feel good. Very nice. Very nice.
And they played well in the third period. Gotta give a shout out to Leon Bischel because he got the crowd going late in the third period with some of the physical play. Mm-hmm. There were some fights. 10 minutes.
You don't see fights in a playoff game that often.
Right, right. I mean, guys were scrapping. And there was a pretty nasty cross check to MacKinnon that I think you're going to see the Avs a little bit fired up in game. Well, of course they're going to be fired up. They're going to be desperate.
What is your record? What is the Stars win-loss record in games that you've attended in the playoffs?
In the playoffs, we're doing really well. I mean, there's only been three home. The one I missed over the weekend is the one they lost. So. No, that was in Colorado.
In Colorado.
The one before that, I missed. So I missed game one.
Okay, so you're, 2-0?
2-0.
You have to go tomorrow. You got to drive out there.
I mean,
you got to drive to Colorado.
If Odyssey's on board, Odyssey HQ.
It's not the longest drive. There's longer drives out there.
I would think
Seattle's a longer drive than Colorado. I mean, you can make it
very
happen.
Very true. Very true. If I leave right now, I mean, we got the extra off day. Why not?
Right. Do it. Let's go. All right. Thank you, Reba.
Enjoyed it.
Jake Reba.
Yeah, Jake, not Jacob.
Not Jacob. Jake.
Yeah, got it right.
Stars.
All right. I was going to talk about something, and we're still going to get into these other stories, but this is taking my precedence right now. Chop, I want you to look on the fan cam at the picture that Aiden's about to throw up there. Mm-hmm. Jim J. Jay Ochoa, one of our loyal Tolos,
yeah,
who shows up to all the firehouses. By the way, we'll be at Anna tomorrow for the firehouse tour with Zach Wolchuk. Mm-hmm. That is 305 South Powell Parkway. But over on the fan cam, we're going to have Aiden throw up this photo of something that Jay Ochoa tagged us in. This is a photo here, Chop. I want you to look at this since it's still not up on the fan cam. This. Look at that big brain move right there. He said this is something Peyton would do. But that is a Oscar Mayer hot dog in a hollowed out Olive Garden breadstick. So you're using the breadstick as your hot dog bun.
Whoa.
But the breadstick is garlicky. So now you have like a garlic bun.
This seems like
with the wiener in it.
This seems like I mean, I'm going to have to try this now. I don't even eat a lot of hot dogs.
Yeah.
But oh my gosh, the Olive Garden breadstick, the butter and the garlic, and you get that around the hot dog. Yeah. It's like, you wouldn't even need to season your hot dog at this point.
I'm not a huge garlic guy. And we did a cooking class in Italy, and I found that in the sauce, and I knew this because my grandmother is from Italy, and that she never put garlic in her sauce. She used onions, and she took the onions out. But like before, she just like seasoned. But they don't use garlic in their marinara or the bolognese in Italy.
Why not?
Did a cooking class because that's for people who don't know how to cook.
Oh, is that like the Italian sauce version of? You don't put sauce on your barbecue because if you have to put sauce in the barbecue, I didn't do my job with the meat.
Probably. Probably. Or that or beans in the chili because, you know, you don't know how to cook your chili if you put beans. Whatever.
Beans are just filler, I feel
it's
like.
It's filler. But no, so I don't like, I do love the garlic breadsticks though because it's not too much garlic.
Man, I think that
they're fantastic.
I think that's a game changer. And I've got to try it before we all die on Interstate 45, which is going to happen shortly. Axios has a story up this week, or at the end of last week, Chop. Driverless trucks, 18-wheelers, are now rolling around I-45. We are officially in a new era. So Aurora Innovation is a company that has trucks. They're a truck company. And they've had, in the last year, truck drivers in these autonomous vehicles. And the trucks have been driving themselves all up and down I-45. But there's a driver in there as a fail-safe, as somebody in case there's something that goes wrong. No longer. Starting last weekend, Aurora Innovation went completely driverless. And now what they're doing is that it's a Pittsburgh-based company, these Pittsburgh guys, McCarthy and Aurora Development, just trying to ruin our good time. Their commercial driverless operations began this month. The first autonomous truck rolled down I-45 last weekend. Although Aurora officials declined to share specific details, the company said it will begin slowly with one truck and will gradually expand the fleet over time. So now when you are on I-45, you are driving next to an 18-wheeler that does not have a person in the cab.
No.
This isn't going to work.
No.
We're going to have, if you've ever watched the show Upload, this is how he dies.
I've never heard the show.
The very first episode. This is how he dies. Upload's about like the afterlife or whatever. But this is how he ended up dying, was an autonomous vehicle.
I'm a little disappointed the state of Texas would allow this. First of all, you're taking jobs away.
Yeah.
Right?
Tip card job. Yeah.
Not a fan of that. But also, like, no. Just no. Like, this is too much. I know they have self-driving Ubers
in certain cities.
Do they have them here?
No, but I wouldn't get in one.
My buddy lives in San Fran, and he's got like, he'll always like be posting Instagram stories or whatever about like him being in a driverless Uber. Now, I get it. In the streets of San Francisco, you're not going 80 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, baby.
Right? You're going, downtown San Fran, you're going at a very slow pace.
Yeah.
You know, it's still dangerous. But it's not nearly as dangerous going 80 miles an hour down the freeway with a 40,000-pound truck in tow.
Yeah, no, that's that's the issue here is that we're talking about what are you,
yeah,
where are the margins for potential catastrophe? It feels like there's bigger ones here. Now, I'm sure there are other people who are going to say, quit being wusses. This is the future. This is how it goes. You guys are being cowards. But ultimately, I would not.
I'm so disappointed. This should be outlawed.
I would dead serious do anything I could. I would, if I knew there was a truck, I would get off the exit, let it go a little further, and then I'd get back on.
I'm speeding by it.
That's what you run the risk of it getting mad and just cutting over into your lane.
What is it, Christine?
I don't know. Look, I mean, it's if it can drive the car, who says it doesn't have road rage? Like, I would assume it can get pissed off, and it can't flip you off. The car doesn't have hands, so what does it do?
It's got to just... Does it honk at you? You think it honks at you?
I mean, what about the kids that do this? That they pump their arm? They want the... Mm-hmm. How are you going to do that?
What was that movie with the truck that had the... It had like a vendetta against this one guy?
I don't know. That sounds like...
It was like an old, like, 70s movie. I'll find it.
Well, here, while you look for that, we have a new... cure for depression, RJ Choppy.
I'm in.
Scientists have found evidence for the optimal sexual frequency. It exists and it mitigates depression. Scientists, researchers have found that a minimum of once a week, this is research published in Journal of Affective Disorders, if you are having relations once a week, they find that those individuals have their depression cut in half from those who have it less frequently than that. So Chop, there's your solution. You ever feeling a little down in the dumps? Just say, hey, we need to be doing stuff minimum once per week. And the more, the better is supposed to cure my mood, boost me up a little bit.
All right.
I feel like
I'm in.
Is one, because one a week would just be, I would imagine, it's like standard. Like you're in a relationship, and I would just assume one a week would be like the baseline. So if you're having less than that, you're probably having marital problems, and you're probably depressed.
I think that's absolutely the baseline. I think almost twice a week has to be.
So see, that's the question I always ask about research like this, like the chicken and the egg. Like what's the correlation here? And so to me, the correlation is more just, well, if you're in a relationship and it's happening less than once a week, you're probably having some sort of issues or problems, and those might be also contributing to depression. And so if you've got, if those issues don't exist, then you're less likely to be depressed or upset about that. And that may be where half of that, like half number comes from.
Duel was the name of the movie I was thinking of, 1971. Maximum Overdrive, Spittle texted in Maximum Overdrive. Emilio Estevez, it's another one.
I've never seen either of those.
Duel's great. It's old, though. It probably doesn't stand the test of time.
I mean,
I haven't seen it like 25
years. Could be
campy,
could be good just because of that.
Yeah. So. But once a week minimum has to be.
Yeah.
Has to be the minimum on that one. Sean and RJ here at 105. What is coming up next in Below the Belt?
Did the Cowboys just stumble into the next Drew Pearson? That's next on the
Whoa! Fan. Below the Belt next on 105 The Fan. The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Did the Cowboys find the next Drew Pearson? Probably not, but I mean, maybe. As they signed several undrafted free agents after the following the 3-day excursion to Green Bay, Wisconsin to select their new crop of rookies. And we're going to talk about it here in Below the Belt as I try and catch my... I did the mistake, Chop, of where I took a bite of something right before we got back. And then
it's a big mistake, man.
It creates all the saliva right after.
Yeah, listen, you know, you're not supposed to eat in the studio. Tim Collins has told us that, so I wouldn't do that.
Okay, all right. I'm going to start keeping track of all the little packets you bring up here and are munching on.
I'm a muncher.
No, but we're going to talk about the Cowboys draft class here in just a sec and their undrafted free agents. First, we were going to do this at 8 or 7, I think, and we didn't end up getting to it. We absolutely have to play the two clips from the White House yesterday. The one on Shador and the one on Saquon Barkley.
It was a wonderful day. Fantastic time.
Would you rather go with Saquon Barkley or Shador Sanders first?
Let's do Saquon first.
Okay, so the Philadelphia Eagles were at the White House yesterday. Jalen Hurts was not. He was unable to attend due to a scheduling conflict, they said.
I have takes on both of these.
Well,
go ahead.
So there was also some heat for Saquon Barkley, because I guess he was golfing with Trump, too, at some point.
So he played golf at the his course in New Jersey. I guess he flew to the White House with the president on Air Force One, and had lunch with him or something.
And
he caught a ton of heat for that.
And then he tweeted about it, which we'll talk about here in a sec. But first, This is his new buddy, I guess. President Trump's new buddy is mm-hmm. Saquon Barkley. So when they were talking about the Eagles yesterday at the White House, he made sure to let the Giants know, hey, I called this S.
And by the way, I have to tell you something. I was with the Giants and the head coach and some people, and I said, do anything you have to, but don't lose Saquon. They lost Saquon. That was not good. I called that one. That was an easy one to call because he played damn well for the Giants. I can tell you that.
I called that one. It was an easy one to call.
No one was talking about Saquon Barkley. They all said you can let him go. I said no, you can't.
I do love the like. I called that.
I called that one. I told you on that one.
Like it's like the equivalent to like I knew Brock Purdy was going to go to a Super Bowl. Like he thinks that's the equivalent,
right?
I do think it's funny. It's the fact that he had these conversations with the Giants in general is just fascinating too. Now there was another answer at the, but before we go to the next answer at the White House, your thoughts on in general the Saquon outrage, because there are a lot of people who are outraged about him traveling with the president. He said Saquon said in his tweet, he's like, hey, I respect the office, period.
I'll read the tweet. LOL, some people are really upset because I played golf and flew to the White House with the president, all caps. Maybe I just respect the office, not a hard concept to understand. Just golf with Obama not too long ago, and I look forward to finishing my round with Trump. Now get out of my mentions with all this politics and have an amazing day. I'll tell you the most disturbing thing about this to me is
that... read Clarence's tweet.
I'm not going to... The most disturbing thing about all this to me was people were going after Saquon and his wife. Saying, oh, now this makes sense because he has a white wife. That's disgraceful. Mm. That's disgraceful. Like, you fall in love with who you fall in love with. You can't control that. Like, you know, who cares? You're just a loser if you go down that road with Saquon and bring his family into this.
I've always said...
And I don't know the dynamics between Saquon and his wife. I had no idea. I just leave her out of this. But I don't care if Jalen Hurts... I also don't care if Jalen Hurts goes... Like, to me, it's not a story. If he's skipping the White House because like he doesn't like the president, that's a story. If he has a scheduling conflict, I don't care. I don't know that I need to know that. Like it's not a story to me.
Oh, I think people just were more insinuating it's a made up scheduling conflict.
No, that may be true. It may be a made up scheduling conflict. I would like I don't judge. I'll play golf with anybody. Like I would play golf with any sitting president or former. Whether I voted for him or not, I would play golf with him. I don't care who
Lincoln
they are.
Riley.
I have like two prerequisites. Can you get me on a course I can't get on? And do you play fast? That's it. Like that's
well,
it.
Well, then you wouldn't play with every president. Because, I mean, I would guess like some of them are just not going to play fast.
Maybe the last one.
Given whenever you would have played with him.
Okay, so maybe he wouldn't play. I would bite the bullet to play with a president, even if they played slow.
Would you?
But that's my prereq to anybody. Like, I will play with the worst person in the world. I will play, if you could get me on a course I can't get on, and you play fast, I'm in.
Would you? I think you've said this before. You don't care. Like if you were an athlete and you won the Super Bowl or whatever else, you would go to the White House regardless.
It's cool. I would want to go. The food's probably cool. You know, I love history. You know, I was just the whole. Okay, so.
I would go no matter what, unless, I don't know, who, like, barring any of the following people getting elected president, Dan Orlovsky, Marcus Mosier, Cam Scataboo, then I'll go.
Yeah, if Skip gets elected president, you know, maybe not. But still, I would have questions. I would have questions for Skip.
Yeah. A lot of questions, which, I mean, look, it sounds impossible, but, I mean, nothing's really impossible. Stephen A. is talking about running for president, Chop. All right, let's go to the other football topic coming out of the White House today, okay? Shedeur Sanders, there was the draft slide.
He's slid in the draft. I don't know why they're not taking him.
Trump weighed in on it.
Oh, my God.
Said he's a great quarterback. He should be on a team. He's fantastic. Just basically pumped him up, talked about him. And then that led to this question at the White House press briefing yesterday.
After the president's Truth Social post, the Browns finally took Shedeur Sanders. Does the president think he deserves credit for Sanders getting picked? And does he think going to the Browns is better than being undrafted?
Hey, I'm gonna. All I will say is.
is the president put out a statement, and a few rounds later, he was drafted. So I think the facts speak for themselves on that one, Peter.
So Sean sent this to us yesterday. Sorry, exposing the group DM. Hope that's okay. Sean sent this to us yesterday and just said, do y'all think this is, like, basically it was, he was trying to gauge what we came down on because there was some dispute over, is she serious or is that a joke?
Yeah. I think she's absolutely joking, but I also think Trump absolutely believes that he is the reason why Shador got drafted.
Sure, both those can be true.
I think both of those are absolutely true.
I will say,
I think Trump absolutely is sitting there thinking, I got him drafted. I got him selected. Look at this guy, okay? Excuse me. I'm talking, okay? Excuse me. I got him drafted, and you'll never tell me otherwise.
I will say, I think that it's kind of funny to phrase it as though, hey, you saw I put it out, and a few rounds later. Well,
it took a while for the
2 days.
It took a while for it to circulate through the room.
Sure, yeah, I get it. No, but it is. I think she's joking.
But he absolutely believes that he was the reason.
I don't know who. I think that was Peter Ducey asked that question. It's like, dude, even throwing that out. What a dopey question to even throw out there, though.
I called that one.
Does he think he deserves credit for that one? All right, so
I called that one.
Let's talk about the Dallas Cowboys and their undrafted free agents. So as it stands now, that they didn't draft a receiver, but they did grab a couple in undrafted free agency. Trayshawn Holden, wide receiver from Oregon, is one that they got. He actually started out his career at Alabama. He's had some issues off the field and on the field. He was the one who got thrown out of the Ohio State game during the regular season.
Oh, yeah.
For spitting on an Ohio State player.
Mm-hmm.
And he's had his different issues. He had been arrested his junior year, I think, and it was initially Oregon was going to dismiss him, and then he ended up not getting charged, and so he was allowed to stay on the program. But Trayshawn Holden is big X-type receiver and a guy that I think has an outside shot here to make it. Because, I mean, I think he's a good player. The question is just his athleticism. Is he going to be fast enough? Does he have the NFL quickness to stick at this level? He's a bigger receiver. He's not a twitchy athlete or anything like that. He's not a fast one. I think he ran something like 4.58 or something. So he's not a burner by any means. But somebody who was just on the edge of draftable grades. So like a seventh to roughly a undrafted free agent where he ended up. The other receiver, Josh Kelly from Texas Tech, that guy runs a 4.7 at like 190 pounds. So don't know if that's going to stick necessarily, but again, somebody who potentially could contribute on special teams and is considered to be a guy who can make some plays in zone, can play, you know, can get you some different stuff in zone coverages and has some savviness to his routes. And so he may stick, and they've got a lot of receivers though at this point, not a lot of good receivers, but I'm saying they've got a lot of receivers they're committed to. Because they got Lamb, they've got Mingo, they've got Tolbert, they've got Turpin. That's four right there. They're probably going to add another. That's five. They like their tight ends. It's going to be tough, I think, just with the numbers for anybody to get in on the periphery. Some of the other undrafted free agents they've got right now, Zion Childress, a corner from Kentucky. They also added Bruce Harmon, a corner from Stephen F. Austin. The name that I think is worth watching here to make the roster is Elijah Clark. And he's the safety from Syracuse. And that's somebody who can contribute on special teams right away. That's somebody who was a fairly significant recruit when he was coming out. He was a four-star recruit and had played well at Syracuse. Really, the biggest thing was he didn't take a step up this year at Syracuse. People were waiting for him to do so, and he didn't. But he
had a down year in general.
He was thought to be, I mean, how many times did Fran Brown actually shower this year? We don't know.
Very few. Only winners get washed.
Winners get washed. And he's not one of them because they lost too frequently. But Elijah Clark is, like, if you look at the measurables, the athleticism, the pedigree, the ability to contribute on special teams, that's somebody who I think is worth watching as could potentially make this roster and could potentially contribute for them on special teams. And that's any kind of special teams contribution is a good way to keep your spot on the 53 or to get a spot on the 53. But they're looking, I think, they had some discussions about some safeties during the draft. They signed a couple here in undrafted free agency. I think it's unsettled there what Matt Eberflus wants to do with the safeties. Typically, he likes guys who are interchangeable, guys who can play free and strong. The guys they have on the roster right now are not interchangeable. Donovan Wilson can't play free safety. Malik Hooker is a free safety. He really can't play strong. Some of the guys that they have behind that, you would say Marquise Bell is a strong safety. He's really not a free safety. So I wonder if they're just looking at this and going, we need to find some guys who have some different flexibility that can actually operate within the way that Eberflus typically views safety play.
So we could be in for a rough start.
Sounds what you're saying.
I think it's just there might have to be some adjustments. Which Matt Eberflus said that's the biggest thing he learned since he left Dallas was being flexible to some of those things.
Very nice.
And so he might have to adjust to his personnel rather than try to force his personnel to his system.
B-Low.
B-Belt.
Right here on 105.3 The Fan. Is Marcus Semien the most disappointing second baseman in baseball? We got Diamond Cavs next, 9 o'clock hour, right here on The Fan.